OWW Radio.
And you know those two double cheeseburgers were extra cheese only, nothing else on them.
Just extra cheese only, that's it.
Extra cheese, nothing else on them. We figured you'd have that already by the time we got up here. Didn't know what? Didn't know whether to fix it or not.
We
wouldn't have ordered it if we didn't want it fixed. Goddamn!
You
fucking idiot!
Fucking comedy show. Hey, this looks like a fucking comedy bus to you.
You know what?
Hey,
I want you to goddamn come from that.
Whoa!
Good cut, you.
Whoa!
Here we go.
Hey, we ordered the damn shit. Not because we wanted to fuck around. Don't cuff me, you fucking ugly bitch. You've been waiting 15 minutes to motherfucking line, you stupid son of a bitch. Anyway, we order goddamn $30 worth of fucking food and sit here for 15 minutes and they don't even start fixing it till we get up here because they think we're fucking joking? We've been sitting here 15 minutes. They don't even start the order. Fucking little cunt. They didn't start a fucking thing.
I thought we were joking.
15 fucking minutes. Got to drive 200 fucking miles.
I thought we were joking.
God damn it. I'll kill
somebody. You ugly fucking bitch.
ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, all right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going through this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
All right, thank you very much. We are at 866-543-6990 or radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's how you get a hold of me. Dave, Aaron, Shock, Scott, Corey, Daniel, whoever else is on the team. I don't know what's going on, man. All right. You heard that audio from Mr. Jim Cornette at the local Dairy Queen. Why do you think he got fired over there at TNA? Why do you think he got fired from WWE? Why do you think he got fired from Ring of Honor? I think he's got some type of tantrum, what is that? Tantrum he throws all the time. He's got some issues that he needs to work out. What do you think?
He just wants the extra cheese.
Yeah. He wants his Dairy Queen burgers once he gets to the window.
30-something burgers.
Wrestling-minded, though, don't you think that Jim Cornette is an asset to have in your promotion?
Without question.
Oh, yeah, the guy's definitely got one of the best minds in the business, man.
But three times now, he's been let go of these promotions because of his attitude. Over at WWE, he slapped Santino Marella because he laughed at Boogeyman. Now, that's uncalled for, isn't it?
I can see.
Well, man, the guy's, you know, he's got his opinion. He's very vocal about it, and he says what he wants to say, and he's emotional, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's good, but it's also bad, apparently, in his case.
While doing the show earlier in the first hour, one of the segments back, we got word that there was a Jim Cornette. There's new audio of Jim Cornette that surfaced today. This from 411mania.com. I got the audio here. Some audio commentary. Some of the highlights on that audio is Cornette talking about Terry Taylor, Dixie Carter, pretty much everyone at TNA, and how he felt that they didn't think he was 100% with Vince Russo. And he plain out said that he doesn't like Vince Russo and he would never be 100% with Vince Russo. Remember that audio from some time back when he called Vince Russo every name under the book? He didn't like him. He didn't like him at WCW. He was happy when WWE let him go. They never were on the same page. Do you fault the guy for not liking Vince Russo? I certainly don't. Here's some of the audio clip from Who Slamming Who? Jim Cornette, Tommy Fierro.
Anything? Well, now everybody's thinking, oh, my God, they've stuck a rerun in on us. it has been a rather eventful news week as relates to Jim Cornette. Of course, you know, I've talked to you, Tommy, in the past. We talk off air. People as abrasive as we are to each other on the air, people wouldn't think that we're friends off the air. But
I'll put myself over. I'm one of your closest friends, right?
Well, not right now. You're all the way in Jersey. I'm down in Louisville. You're really not that close. But anyway, now I've talked about how that you know, I'm really not trying to be the most controversial person in professional wrestling. Sometimes these things just happen this way. And this past week, it actually happened. I didn't even have to leave the house.
Yeah.
Well, everybody wants to know the story. And I want to say, first of all, for anybody who's tuning into Cornette's commentary, oh, this is going to be, boy, what he did to the Republicans, what he did to Joey Styles, boy, it's going to be nothing. Today, I'm not really going to yell and cuss at anybody. And the reason for that is because, A, I'm not mad. I'm actually still kind of tickled. And B, there was no yelling and cussing going on. And maybe, you know, like I said, when I talked about health care reform, sometimes there's more things more important than wrestling. Well, sometimes there's things that the story is better than if you yelled and cussed about it. Here's what happened for everybody that wants to know. And I'm going to back up a little bit just to give you the preamble. And, of course, part of the story is spoiled if anybody's caught up with the TNA No Surrender pay-per-view backstage happenings. You know, part of the story is spoiled because my punchline has been revealed, and I didn't even know it myself until it happened. So, anyway, at the last TNA tapings, about 3 weeks ago, last weekend of August, right? Well, on my way down to Orlando, because everybody knows I drive, I had already gotten advanced copies of the formats for the shows and looked them over, and then, believe it or not, on my way down to drive to Orlando, Vince Russo called me on the phone, and this is actually, it's happened, you know, 10-12 years ago, but it ain't happened lately. But had lunch. But what he was asking about was, he said, I need some help on this one particular segment. And there's been plenty of speculation on what segment it was, what segment it contained. I'm not going to mentioned the wrestlers' names that were involved in the segment because they were immaterial to this whole thing, and it just brings them into this, and I'd like somebody else to be there at night, you know, instead of fielding phone calls and emails. So anyway, Vince Russo calls me and says, I need some help with this particular segment. So I've read what you got. I said, I think we can do the same finish of the match, the same result of the match, I should say, and we can get to the same place we're going, but we ought to do it this way. Boom, boom, boom. And we talked about it on the phone, and we agreed to that. He actually agreed, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, and everything's fine. So then a couple days later, when I get to the production meeting about that particular show and that particular segment, it was completely different from what he had had and sure. what we had talked about. Both. It was a completely new thing I hadn't seen before. And it wasn't no big deal. I just didn't truthfully think it was going to work for anybody involved to get them where they needed to be and, you know, accomplish what needed to be accomplished. So in our meeting of agents and, you know, upper personnel and things like that, I asked why we couldn't do what we agreed on, you know, 2 days beforehand, and I presented my reasons why I thought that that would probably be a better thing to do than what was on the paper in front of me for everybody involved. Nobody was yelling. Nobody was screaming. Nobody was cussing. Nobody got personal. Nothing unprofessional went on. It was just another one of those wrestling meetings that you have, and nobody thought anything of it. And they agreed, as a matter of fact, that we should do the segment as we had agreed on it Friday. And since that was my segment to agent, I went out and did what we had agreed on. And then the following weekend, which I believe was Labor Day weekend, and you know Labor Day, that's when nobody works, I did my agent report because, you know, I've had to get into the computer age. They like agent reports and things. So in addition to my website, I've had to learn how to send an email. Now, don't everybody out there expect a million emails from me because it still takes me a while, but I do them. So anyway, I emailed my agent report in with everything that I was responsible for and everything that happened at the course of the taping and my opinions on that. And, you know, exactly what I'm supposed to put in the agent report. And I sent it on in. And Terry Taylor sent me an email back saying, hey, great report. Thanks a lot. See you later. Okay. And then for about 7 days, I didn't hear anything from anybody, which is not unusual because in between tapings, you know, people are doing their work in the office, and I'm sitting on my big fat ass eating my wife's cooking here at home. We usually don't talk. And then, you know, the week before the show, I'll get formats or something on the email, and I'll talk to somebody, and then I'll be down here again. Well, so 7 days went past from when I heard, you know, good report and everything, and Terry Taylor called me up, and I thought he was going to, you know, say, hey, we got these formats coming to you, and he said, well, Jim, got bad news. We got to let you go. And I said, okay, why? And I'm not going to give you the blow-by-blow of the conversation, but once again, nobody yelled and nobody screamed, because now that was kind of exactly my response, was like, what? Ain't I supposed to get a yellow card or a red flag or a buzzer supposed to sound or something? I'm sorry, but I'm laughing.
Well, that's a good thing.
In the course of the conversation, what he basically told me was the company felt that I wasn't 100% on the team. And I said, what do you mean, 100? What am I not 100% on the team? I've driven 1,800-mile round trips to Orlando twice a month for the past 3 years to be on the team. Well, you're not 100% buying creative. Is kind of then what the next, and I said, but no, I mean, that's not really news. You know, I haven't made a big stink out of anything, but no, I'm not 100% behind creative because that's Vince Russo, and, you know, we never have been and probably never will be. Hmm. Well, it feel like if you're not 100% behind creative, that it would hamper your ability to do your job. Okay, that's, I'd like to hear this from Dixie. So we left it at that, and that was Tuesday night. And then I went downstairs to have some dinner, and, you know, he said, Dixie, call me in the morning. And unbeknownst to me, apparently it went out on the Internet as pretty much, because, you know, remember, folks, I'm still a little green at this Internet stuff. Went on the Internet as a flash news report that me and I didn't even know about it until I read, you know, after the fact, B.G. James had got released. So the next morning, you know, when Terry called me, I said, you know, why was this on the Internet 2 hours after I heard about it? said, after close of business, was there anybody even in the office? And he said, well, you know, it's been a problem for us. We got these leaks going out, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of it because that does, you know, make people look bad. So I'd appreciate it if you would. So then I talked to Dixie, and she said the same thing. Basically, she said they're looking for people that are 100% on the team, you know, which I said, I've always been 100% on TNA's team. I don't feel like that Vince McMahon should own professional wrestling, and I've, you know, basically always been solidly behind TNA because I want there to be an alternative, and I've done whatever I can do to help make that a possibility. And she said, well, but the thing is, if you're not 100% behind creative, then you're not 100% on the team, and it could affect, you know, things, or, if you've not got your heart in it, you know, then you just ain't doing it as best as you could. And I say, you know, I mean, this is a summation of a long conversation, but I said, well, we left it like this. Dixie said that, you know, I'm a genius. I think she said genius. I'm not sure she used that exact word, but I know she did say brilliant. And that she appreciated my contributions, but the door is always open, and if I can ever find that I'm 100% behind their creative direction, then the door is always open, and they'd love to have me back. And I said, well, Dixie, I would love to come back at some point when your situation changes, but I can't be 100% behind Vince Russo's creative direction. Everybody knows that, and they always have it. This is not a bulletin. And so that's the way we left it, and basically that's the way that I considered that the conversation closed, was that she said they want to hit a home run and they want everybody playing on the team. And I said, well, look at it this way. You got a guy at bat, and if he strikes out, you got somebody in the bullpen. So we were very professional. Nobody yelled. Nobody screamed. And once again, I made it plain that I'm always on TNA's team, but I will never be behind Vince Russo. And, I mean, Sarah Palin's going to French kiss Barack Obama on the steps of the Capitol before that happens. But there's no animosity, right? But then things started happening, because then that was Wednesday. Well, my phone was ringing off the hook, and you know, I don't really check my email all that often, but my better half does, and her email box was blown up. And I said, well, heck, instead of fielding all these phone calls when I'm still, you know, pretty... when I was still pretty, you know... They picked Vince Russo over me, basically. I feel like Beyonce standing next to Rosie O'Donnell at a bar, and Rosie's the one that got hit on first. But apart from that, it's not that big a deal.
Or Taylor Swift at the MTV Music Awards.
You know, maybe Kanye had something to do with it. But anyway, so we go downstairs in the tub room, and we turn the stereo on, because it was a nice day here in Louisville, Kentucky on Wednesday, and we barbecued some burgers. And I didn't answer the phone. Well, then I get up Thursday, and now by Thursday, apparently, there's this newspaper or website or whatever it is in England called The Sun. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, apparently I wasn't really. I mean, I know, I think Heyman had something to do with it. Well, that's right there, you know, kind of illustrates to me, I guess they're the English version of the Weekly World News, you know, the headlines, you know, Elvis found on moon and dinosaurs honk like Buick, say experts. And so they've got this big story that, Jim Cornette, boy, he went crazy. He threw a temper tantrum. He went for Vince Russo. He was yelling and screaming. He couldn't leave it alone. He was screaming, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And holy shit, and they had to fucking fire him because he just fucking pitched a fit. And the internet, the news sites here in this country, I guess, have picked up on this. And because, well, it makes good enough sense as anything else because, I mean, let's face it, me screaming at Vince Russo is a believable story. Okay, I mean, I'm not denying that for one second, except in this case it didn't happen. Because Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel, 3 fateful years ago, had asked me as a personal favor to work with, coexist with, tolerate the existence of, however you want to phrase it, Vince Russo for the good of the company. And pretty much that's what's happened. So while the story was not tremendously unbelievable in this case, no, it didn't happen. So I called Terry Taylor back. And I said, Terry, I said, what now? I said, I take a day off to go barbecue. And now Thursday, by the way, was my birthday, September 17th, 48 years old. Thank you very much. Happy birthday to me. I said, Terry, I said, I take a day off, go grill hamburgers, and wake up the next day, and I'm the biggest heel in the world, and I've been fired for trying to murder Vince Russo or some shit. What's going on here? We don't know. We don't know where that came from. I said, well, I said, the fact is, I said, the story that was told centered around the meeting that we had, and you know as well as I do that nothing that was in the story happened in the meeting we had. And he said, yes, that's correct. I said, but still, the only people in the room at the time were the agents for TNA and yourself and a member of the TNA office from Nashville, because Dixie wasn't there, and I think maybe the producer and the director. I'm not sure whether the announcers were in there or not, but that was it. It wasn't a general production meeting. I said, so where would this have come from? We're going to get to the bottom of it. I said, why don't you do me this? Why don't you see if you can have Dixie or anybody over there issue some kind of statement that says that this story going around is fictitious, it didn't occur, and that we have parted, I've been released because of creative differences.
All right, well, there you go. Jim Cornette clearing things up from the Sun newspaper's earlier article involving his firing over at TNA.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
OWW Genesis, OWW Radio, Nick Anthony, Kanai Andrews. We're glad to bring you, and it's a true honor to have him on. And Richard Cashman on Slam Wrestling, he wrote it best when he described him. He wrote, on an impressive pedigree, finding success in WWWF, NWA, AWA, and WCW, writer of Adventures in Larryland, OWW, it's the living legend, Larry Zbyszko. Hey, Larry, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks, guys. Good introduction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. And I'm standing up, taking my applause from everybody. Again, it's an honor to have you on, man. I appreciate it so much for taking time out for us.
Well, that's okay. Go ahead. You might as well use me while you got me.
Right off the top, Zbyszko. Of course, Stanislaus Zbyszko, who trained Johnny Valentine, Harley Race. He discovered Antonio Roca. Who came up with for you to pay tribute to Stanislaus? Was it a promoter, Bruno? Who was it?
Well, you know, Bruno was the one that really came up with that decision, and it was based on a couple of things back in those days. But, you know, back in those days, professional wrestling drew a lot from ethnic backgrounds. Bruno with the Italians and Bobo Brazil, and then with the Blacks and Pedro right. Morales, the Puerto Ricans, and Crusher Lazowski, and then with the Polish people. So, you know, it was a lot more ethnic thinking and promotion back in those days. But Zbyszko was a famous wrestling name.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Stanislaus Zbyszko's last name, that he was born with.
Right.
It was actually taken from some old novel or something years ago that kind of a Polish translation meant the brave one or the great one or something like that. And when I was a little baby, my grandparents, who were from Poland, used to call me a Zbyszko. So it kind of all made sense. Kept the Polish wrestling name famous.
And there you go. So you were trained by the great Bruno Sammartino. What was the working relationship with Sammartino? How was it, you know, trained by this cat, man?
God, you know what? That whole story is in my book. Did you get a chance to read it yet?
Absolutely. Adventures in Larryland. Of course I did.
Okay. No, it was a good plug. I appreciate it. you know, I kind of touched on the old day, but it was different back then. I mean, you know, back in those days, they did not want you in the wrestling business. It was a very closed shop.
Mm-hmm.
And for a guy like Bruno, who was, you know, the big superstar of the day, especially in that main wrestling area, that Northeast area, you know, to have him take me under his wing was not only an honor, but it was like politics of the time. You know, I mean, it was almost like a gold card into the wrestling business.
Right.
So it was real fortunate. And Bruno was into, you know, a pretty serious, you know, conditioning all the time. You know, a lot of working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, used to work out in Bruno's basement, you know, for some years before I even started, and did his workout, which is kind of why I kind of resembled his body a little bit with the big chest and all that, because he did an hour and a half just on bench presses alone.
Wow.
Even that, you know, big power. And even when I started working out with him, Bruno was probably already close to 40 or, you know, 40-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still benching, you know, 500 and, you know, like, man, he did, what, 400, you know, 500 and, like, 1 pounds or something. The best I ever did with him was I did 465 pounds, but at a body weight of 240.
Right, you're really somewhat solid, you know.
You know.
Right.
That was before the days of all the steroids. That was real muscle.
Right, well.
But he was big into conditioning and, you know, working out. And really, one of the first of them, you know, of the guys into that kind of working out.
Other feuds you had in a WWF, Bugsy McGraw, Abdullah the Butcher, Superstar Billy Graham, and Killer Kowalski, for crying out loud, man. How was it working with Killer?
Oh, Killer was a trip. Killer was, he had his own style, you know. But back in those days, a lot of guys, you know, would have their own style of doing things. Kowalski was kind of a guy that, you know, he was on full speed all the time. No rhyme, no reason, just constantly going, biting, scratching, running around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, prided himself in never getting tired. That was, you know, one of Walter's big things was, you know, he'd go forever and never get tired. But it was an interesting character. It was an interesting story how he became a vegetarian, too.
What's that?
Well, he had some kind of a vision where he was, I think he had a girlfriend or a fiance,
mm-hmm.
and she died. You know, so it was kind of a sad thing. And then one day he was driving down the highway and swore to God that he saw her standing in the middle of the highway,
mm-hmm.
and swerved his car not to hit her and almost got killed, and then had this religious experience where he believed then in reincarnation and everybody would come back after they died. And that's why he never ate meat. And whenever, like, you know, me and Gary or someone would be sitting in a restaurant eating, Killer Kowalski would come up and go, "Who are you eating?"
Yeah.
And we'd tell him, you know, make up some name.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what happened to good old Walter.
Walter Killer Kowalski, vegetarian. I didn't know that.
Neither did I.
Vegetarian.
Larry, can you talk a little bit about, you know, what it was like during, like, the traveling and the camaraderie that would happen during the traveling?
The traveling, especially in the older days, it was a big brotherhood. Basically, it was, you know, a band of merry misfits traveling from town to town. And you had, you know, a group of guys, usually the, you know, the fan favorites were in one group, and then the villains were in another group. And some guys who got along, they'd all, you know, jump in each other's car and take turns driving. And you basically lived on the highway. You lived on your car, and you lived in motel rooms, you know, different motel every night. It was basically the same kind of adventure, night after night. You'd wake up, you'd go to the arena, then you'd come back, and then everybody would party or do their thing. I was the one who never drank, so I went to bed because I got up and played golf. And then you'd do your show and then get in the car and drive another 300-400 miles and check in. It was like, you know, over and over.
Who did you normally travel with?
Well, it depends what era you were talking about. I never traveled with a lot of guys.
Okay.
Because most of the guys were nuts. and it was like, you know, it was like traveling with a bunch of women. If you got more than one or two guys in the car, then one guy would want to stop and do this. And then the car was too cold for this guy, too hot for that guy. And then
right.
This guy, yeah, you couldn't do this. And then so, you know, it was a pain in the butt. In the old days, me and Gurria traveled a lot together
because
we tag-teamed a lot and stayed in the same place.
Tag champions.
We usually on the same card. And then as time went on, you know, there were some other guys I got along with good, you know, me and depends what territory we were in at the time and who was there.
Now that same life on the road that you experienced, add stabbings, add damage to vehicles, being hit with a pole when you're going through this rivalry with San Martino.
I wasn't
living through that, man.
Well, that was, again, a different time when the fans really hated you. And, you know, and on the other hand, really loved you, too. When Bruno fell down bloody, mm-hmm. people in the audience got heart attacks and died. and they really hated, you know, the guys like me that would do this to their heroes. And there were times, you know, I had to, after I turned on Bruno, I had to sneak out of building. I mean, there were riots in these shows every single night. Back in the days when there were no barriers like there are today, and the security was usually a handful of, you know, local cops who just beat the hell out of one guy, but there's, you know, 5,000 irate people in there, and just walking through the crowd one night, I got stabbed,
right.
And then you go out to your car, and you try to get in your car, and there's rocks and bottles, and your car is getting smashed, and get turned over in cabs, and then it got to the point where I'd be in the main event, but I'd have to wrestle on a third match and try to sneak out some back door before the fans realized I was leaving, so they couldn't run out back and try to get me. It was a different ball game than today.
Nick Anthony, Kenai Andrews talking with legendary, is the living legend, for crying out loud, Larry
Still
Zbyszko.
Living.
Larry Zbyszko on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past. ECW, WCW, and the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard. Okay, that one heard it. That one heard it. OWW Radio, Nick Anthony, Kenai Andrews. On the line with us is the living legend, author of Adventures in Larryland. You can pick that up at Amazon.com. Larry, so we came to the steel cage match, Shea Stadium, August 9th, 1980. There was an interview you did with the BaltimoreSun.com. They wrote, in Hulk Hogan's autobiography, he claims the reason for the big crowd at Shea Stadium in 80 was his match against Andre the Giant. That's not the case here, huh?
Oh, Hogan had nothing to do with it. Back in 1980, all Hogan was the beat-up guy for Andre.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the guys were, you know, Andre was so big that you know, even a big guy for that time, you know, who was 240 or 50 pounds or 6 foot one or so, looked really small with Andre. So they dug up Hogan, who was one of the first of the gassed-up big guys to pop on the scene. And he was big enough to get in the ring with Hogan, I mean with Andre, and make a little difference. Even though Andre made Hogan look small, at least Hogan was big enough to, you know, make the match semi-interesting, kind of. But he was basically Andre's beat-up guy. And that's all it was on Shea Stadium, was another throw-on, you know, match for Andre. Had nothing to do with Hogan back then.
I'd say you also mentioned that Hogan had the likes of Savage, Piper, Jimmy Snuka, Junkyard Dog, and Ultimate Warrior also on the same card. So how can he alone say that he brought the fans out to the stadium? Yeah.
Well, he didn't. I mean, after Bruno retired and the business changed a bit, you know, back in the early 80s, one guy couldn't sell out the Garden anymore, you know, for years like Bruno did. And even when WrestleManias came around, it took a whole bunch of guys that were their stars that drew people. It was Hogan and Macho Man and Piper and the Ultimate Warrior, and Andre was probably still around, and they'd have, you know, countless other characters, the Hart Foundations, mm-hmm. and the Junkyard Dogs, and the list goes on, you know. But it was almost like they tried to make everybody a star back then, because one guy couldn't do the job.
You mentioned briefly about when Vince Jr. took over his dad's business. I guess you weren't invited to come along?
Took over, when his dad died?
Yeah, when his dad
took over the business?
Exactly.
Well, I wasn't invited for that party, but I wasn't the cup of tea he was after in those days. You know, when Jr. took over in the early 80s, he had his own idea of what the wrestling business, you know, what he wanted and the things he liked. And what he was into was the big steroided up men's bodies. And I was still kind of from the old school, I didn't get into all the steroids and all the gassed up looks and stuff. So I really wasn't what they were promoting. They just wanted the big, you know, muscled up characters. Mm-hmm. And I was more of the old school wrestler kind of guy. I found more of a home in the NWA a little bit, and then of course the AWA, because Vern Gagne was an old school wrestler, and he was still into more what I did, to where the WWF became more of just a whole bunch of big characters doing clotheslines. It got over for a while, but then it got stale real quick too.
Right. Do you recall what Vern's mindset was during that time of when Vince was going to the rock and wrestling type of thing? Was he opposed to it? Did he hate Vince for it?
Well, they didn't hate him. They were just kind of caught off guard the way that all the talent got taken away from him in the days before contracts. It was kind of a breaking of the code of the wrestling business. Mm. But times were changing too, and the old school promoters were really kind of appalled at what was going on, because to them it was exposing the sacredness of the secret society, which made it more interesting for the fans. Vince kind of did away with all that and changed it into the opposite of what was protected for years. So the old school promoters really, didn't like what was going on, and wanted to compete with it in a different way, but they just didn't know how, and they didn't have the television and the cable at that time to compete with it. And the whole business just kind of changed. It changed into what it became in the early 80s, and then it got basically stale for a long time. It became what it was and got stale, and then it got very exciting in the late 90s when WCW and Monday Nitro rose on the scene and mm-hmm. offered a unique kind of competition and, some different old school elements. And then they messed that up, and then basically from, 2001, 2002, now it's back to the same boat it was. You got a whole bunch of everybody's the same. Half the show is nothing but stupid. Gets.
Right.
And no drama, believability, or, any kind of emotional connection with the fans. It's just, here, watch all these guys flop around for 5 minutes, and now we'll do a bunch of skits with ex-strippers. And that's what wrestling became.
Going back a little bit, you worked with David San Martino, Bruno's son. How was it like working with him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I wrestled David a little bit, after the Me and Bruno program. But then David, he wasn't happy with his career. He kind of disappeared from the scene. I don't even know what he's doing today.
In the NWA, you bought a title, $25,000.
Killer Brooks.
Right. You were stripped of it by the then president of the NWA, and then you won it again for Mr. Wrestling 2, September 25th, 1983. Then you went on
You guys know more about me than me.
we did the research, man. You went on to AWA. Is this where you met Vern Gagne's daughter, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. She was up there, and that's kind of an interesting story, too. I'm going to do another book. Mm-hmm. And The Adventures of Larry Lamb is kind of a dream come true story. That, the next book's going to be a different, more personal look and some other things. But, obviously, you know, Kathy came along with that era. And that was kind of a weird story in itself, too, you know, because it was just kind of, it was kind of interesting. But then, of course, Vern hated me for a while, but then he liked me. So it worked out good at the end.
All right, with you marrying, you're still married to Vern Gagne's daughter. Do you sympathize with the position that Triple H, being married to the boss's daughter now in WWE with Steph?
Well, I don't know what the situation is. You know, it could be good or it could be a pain in the butt. You know, it all depends what the motivation was.
Well, a lot of the guys on OWWFan.com, they're saying that Triple H is where he is because of the boss's daughter.
Well, you know, I really don't know that situation. You know, I mean, mine was different. When I met Kathy, I already had a name. I already sold out Shea Stadium. I already had my character. I was already, you know, me. You know, right. I really don't watch the WWE, and I don't follow all the stuff, so I don't know what the Triple H situation. Wasn't he going with what's her name?
China, right? Among
he dumped China and then moved up to Stephanie.
Yeah, he was one of the ones that was going with China.
One of them.
Yeah. It was quite a few of them, I believe.
God bless her.
Nick Anthony, Kenai Andrews, OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. The Hero says, with everything wrestling. Head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
More with Larry Zbyszko on OWW Radio, Nick Anthony and Kenai Andrews. You mentioned you had heat with Vern. How did he feel when you jumped to WCW in 91?
Well, there was no hard feelings at all. Actually, if you read the book, I kind of touch on what was going on then, because the AWA was trying to plan a kind of an invasion situation where the AWA invaded the brand new WCW. And that was kind of an attempt at the last stage of the AWA, because Vern really should have closed shop a couple of years before he did. But it never really happened that way. But, you know, Vern decided to close the doors, but Jim Herd and the new people at WCW wanted me to come in. Mm-hmm. And there was no heat at all, because, you know, the AWA was, it was time to, you know, close the doors and move on anyway. So, and actually, if you read the book, it kind of goes into even down the road, because the whole invasion situation that we tried to set up with the AWA coming into WCW at the beginning is what we turned into the New World Order, you know, 6-7 years down the road.
And before that, before you closed shop there, Larry, can you talk a little bit about when, maybe around 1984, maybe that was the last great hurrah for the AWA, with Rick Martel being the world champion and Stan Hansen. What did you think of those two and their title runs during that time?
Oh, God, you know what? I really don't know what the situation was for the AWA when they were doing that, because I was somewhere else. You know, I might have been in and out a little bit, or or something. I remember staying there a little bit. But the early 80s, you know, the mid-80s, were basically the time when the wrestling business and the television business were changing. And it probably was like the last heyday of the territories, even in the Crockett territories, and then the other ones that might have been left with, you know, Florida and the Texas ones, or Bill Watts' thing that he had going. And, but it was just kind of like the world progressing, and you know, it was time for the mom-and-pop stores to close up, and nationwide cable and pay-per-view satellites and all that was the, you know, was the becoming, you know, the incoming new wave. And to compete in that nationwide business, you really needed either what Vince had, you know, a jump on the whole nationwide cable pay-per-view system, or what Turner had, because he owned his own network.
Right.
So you basically needed a nation, you know, nationwide network and stuff.
So are you saying that that's what killed the territories?
Yeah, basically that national television, you'll kill the territories, because the territories kind of all combined together talent-wise and some people here and there, and became a nationwide, you know, company instead of a local territory because of TV. When you went on TV, you went nationwide, so it changed the whole complexion of the business.
1987, and Dave, he can testify to this. He was around. I was 7 years old, but Dave was around. You helped Curt Hennig defeat Bockwinkel for the AWA World Heavyweight Championship.
I just saw that the other night on the ESPN Classic.
Well, aren't we on top of things today, huh?
Yeah, I saw that, and then I saw some revenge match with Bockwinkel the other night. But at the time, that was a classic. That was a classic situation at the time.
Mm-hmm. Also, you moved on to WCW as we talked about. December 1990, you returned to World Championship Wrestling. Can you tell us about Kevin Nash? I think you called him also a gassed up. you use that a lot, gassed up body Donna or whatever you said about him. Tell us about Kevin Nash and his persona, his personality.
Well, Kevin had a bunch of different personalities. You know, he was one of the guys that came along and got a break because, you know, he was a very, very big guy. And he was a fairly good talker. He was in, you know, the right frame of mind. But he went, you know, again, he kind of cracked me up because he went through so many characters. You know, first he's like the Wizard of Oz for WCW. Mm-hmm. Then he was around as Vinny Vegas, the 7 foot tall Rambler Gambler or something. Mm-hmm. And then Diesel. And then Kevin Nash. So it was kind of like, it always kind of interested me because a true wrestling character that would get over is basically the guy that gets over as one character. You know, the Bruno was Bruno, or the Hogan was Hogan, or the Flair was Flair. But, you know, some of these other guys, you know, like Nash, you know, would be 10 different guys over the years. And it kind of takes away the impurity of the character, you know, in terms of fans, because they can't sink their teeth into any believability because they were a whole bunch of different ones. The thing that got, you know, Nash and Hall and the other guys over was basically the whole scenario of the WWF invading WCW.
Right.
Was the story, not so much the individual.
What did you think about the whole buyout from WWE to WCW?
Oh, well, I didn't think too much about the Vince buying it thing because I knew nothing was going to happen with it except he wanted the old tapes. I thought it was very, very stupid of AOL Time Warner to do what they did because McMahon didn't buy WCW. He bought the name. He bought the library of tapes. And when AOL bought Turner Time Warner, they were a bunch of computer nerds who didn't want wrestling and just canceled the show. And the whole stupid part was, I mean, they had a library, what, from the 70s and 80s and 90s of the Turner, you know, all the Turner shows for 30 years that they gave away to Junior for, like, you know, peanuts. And that's how stupid the people were at AOL. I felt sorry for, you know, the Turner Company and all the people that made these shows for years. I mean, they could have had classic programming that would have cost them nothing because they had it all in the can. And they just gave it away for peanuts because that's how stupid the AOL people are. I thought it was, you know, just kind of stupid on their part.
I would have loved to work there. I'd have taken all of it.
Yeah. I mean, it was really stupid. He gave it away, you know, so.
Yeah, they had a fire sale, basically.
Yeah, it was like, you gotta be kidding me. How stupid are you people?
Well, they obviously didn't care about the wrestling product, as you mentioned, Larry, but what did you think of Eric Bischoff during that period of WCW as well, from the time you came in till the end?
Well, like I touched on that in my book, too. Yeah, Eric was a hustler guy. He was, a sharp guy. You can't take nothing away from Bischoff. But he was like some other guys. He was just in the right place at the right time and was the guy in that situation that kind of stumbled into something that became really big, and really not because of him, but it was because Turner at that time made the decision to release enough money to come up with the Monday Nitro show and start that big feud. You know, Bischoff was there, and mm-hmm. actually, you know, I was involved. I was the one that programmed the whole New World Order, mm-hmm. and there were some other people in the office at that time that kept coming and going, too. Greg Gagne was in it for a little bit, and Sullivan and Mike Graham, and it would switch around. At the beginning, you know, Bischoff would listen, and that's how it all got off the ground, and unfortunately, it got so big so fast, and some heads got big, and some contracts were so ridiculous that the talent took advantage of it, and Eric lost control of the monster it became, and it really started disintegrating way too fast, and that's too bad.
Nick Anthony Kanai Andrews on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Available now from Howard Fine Productions is Sculpted by Choice, a training documentary about James Coyer, a natural bodybuilder who is actively pursuing a WWE developmental deal. A former Mr. Natural California, James Coyer has devoted his life to bodybuilding and teaching the benefits to others. Share his passion for training and healthy eating and be inspired as you see his intense workout. Learn the muscle building tips that build his physique and go behind the curtain as he prepares for the competition stage at a bodybuilding contest. This DVD is loaded with tips on how to build muscle. James Coyer is currently a professional bodybuilder with two natural drug-tested organizations and is training to become a pro wrestler with the goal to get signed by WWE and be a part of the developmental program to further his skills so he can one day wrestle on WWE TV. James is an inspiration to anyone seeking to improve their physique and live a healthy lifestyle. This DVD is available now for only $12 at themartygiannettistory.com. Sculpted by Choice, available now at themartygiannettistory.com. OWW Radio, Nick Anthony Kanai Andrews. On the line with us is the living legend, author of Adventures in Larryland. You can pick that up at Amazon.com. Larry, Total Nonstop Action, January 15, 2003. What is your overall thought when you came to TNA, and do you think they have a future?
Well, I hope they have a future. I like TNA. The people involved, you know, the Carters that wound up with it are very nice people. Everybody working there are really, you know, working hard, giving it their best shot. You know, I've offered a couple suggestions. I wish they'd listen. I think they'd be better off. And they're trying. They're working real hard, and they're slowly getting a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger, and you know, hopefully they'll keep going. And I really think wrestling, you know, could definitely use an alternative to the WWE. And I just wish TNA would quit doing so much what the WWE does. They really started off unique with your next division and some new talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ever since they went to this 2 hours, they've kind of regressed into basically doing what Vince does.
So,
know, just all these silly skits,
right.
And they really don't concentrate on wrestling and the athletes.
Are you saying that the WWE superstars that are let go from WWE coming to TNA, are they hindering at any way, shape, or form TNA? Because you mentioned the X Division, what they used to broadcast on their program. And now they're slowly, or if not all the way, going away from that.
Well, yeah, well, they're kind of drifting away from their original thing, which I think made more of an impact.
Right.
And it's really to the point where it's too much already with the used-up WWE guys.
Hmm.
You know, TNA, you know, I mean, a couple of them were okay, but you don't want any more. You want to make your TNA guys.
You know, you're not the only one that said that. Funk also said that.
Well, everybody says that. It's kind of like, that's the kind of puzzling thing. It's like a no-brainer. But why they keep doing it, I don't know.
Well, they were focusing on the knockouts. They had something going with the knockouts, but I think they've also kind of gone away from that as well. Do you think they're making a dent with this New World Mafia angle that they have right now?
No, because it comes to the point where you've got too many guys that have been there too long. And it's not that they're not good. They're, you know, they're very good talent. But it gets to the point where the public has seen them for, 5 years now. So just because you call them a different name, to the fans, it's the same guys. Mm-hmm. And, I think TNA would be much better off if they did their own thing, not what the WWE does, not with WWE guys, and not recycling the same guys over and over and over. I mean, nothing's wrong with the guys. I can't even watch the WWE because it's the same guys over and over. And TNA is starting to get to that point
right, where
it's the same guy. I mean, I love Eric Young, but he's been there so much. It's like, again, and this guy and that guy. I mean, I can go on with names and names. It's the same guys. How many times can you watch the same John Wayne movie?
We've been talking with living legend Larry Zbyszko. Larry, I want to thank you for coming on with us and taking time out of your day, man. You left Dave speechless.
Well, it's my pleasure, guys. And don't forget to plug the book, Adventures in Larryland, available in all bookstores.
All right, I think that about does it for us here at OWW Radio. Remember, 866-543-OWW0, 866-543-6990. This telephone number, email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Clickwrestle.com, chickfight.tv, onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check out those sites. Onlineworldofwrestling.com, of course, that is the parent site of OWW Radio. Check out the forum, OWW Genesis. It's all right there for you, for crying out loud. For all the producers, Scott NDX, Aaron TNA, Shockey, Daniel, Corey the Shooter, Morrow, I'm Nick Anthony. Till next week, 866-543-OWW0. Talk to you later. She blasts deep up to my thigh. Yeah, the river ran down the legs of the city. No women crying when rivers are weeping.
Sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
McMahon has lost the taste for shit.